Hello, and welcome to SearchCRM.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today we're going to tackle the topic of geofencing, or the targeting of customers based on their location. And geofencing has certain benefits. It can allow companies to use location-based applications to target marketing and promotions to customers while they're at the store or in other locations to boost sales and brand awareness. And geofencing has become a major trend this year. But are companies just using the technology or possibly abusing it as well? So to discuss some of these issues, I have with me Marshall Lager, a principal at Third Idea Consulting and a CRM expert. So welcome, Marshall.
Oh, thanks for inviting me on, Lauren.
Thanks for being here. So Marshall, as is common, I have many, many questions for you about this topic. And my first one, which I alluded to, is, you know, geofencing has become a major trend this year. Tell us why.
Well, I'd say it's taken off as strongly as it has, simply because of availability. Everybody has a phone, a laptop, or a tablet that can use location-based apps. And, you know, several years ago, far fewer consumers had that. They didn't have GPS-enabled smartphones and other wireless devices to the extent that they do now. So those consumers have also become much more comfortable with the idea of location-based services. For what it's worth, there's a corporate side to this as well, and it holds just as true. While you know, sales reps and truck drivers may have had GPS devices, they weren't necessarily connected to the rest of the world to the extent that they are today. And businesses often saw the extra spending on the workforce do this as a cost save rather than something that could provide value in the long term.
Right. And, you know, but kind of mobile devices have become commoditized in a way, so the costs have kind of come down on that notion.
Very much so.
So now let's talk about how, say, retailers are using location-based technology to boost revenue.
Okay. Well, the most common way is local advertising, you know, sending advertisements and special offers to known users when they're within a certain distance of your retail location. You know, informing a customer who has your app that they're in the neighborhood of your restaurant and offering them, say, a 20% discount may sway them to come to you for lunch today. Simple as that. Electronics retailers can also use geofencing to improve the bottom line by enhancing loss prevention, disabling or, you know, tracking merchandise that, shall we say, wanders out of the store without seeing the checkout line, and that makes theft no longer worth the effort. Other customer-facing uses, I think, are going to develop as businesses experiment and get creative with the technology. So there's more to come.
Right. So what do you think the potential impact of geofencing is on customer experience?
Like anything else, geofencing can be a positive experience or a negative one, depending on how it's implemented and how individuals take to it. You know, the first time your mobile app pings you to say you're near your favorite shop and they have a sale just for you, you'll think it's great. This company is talking to me and cares about my needs, is what you'll think. And if you don't go there immediately, you will go in the near future, more than likely. 20th time you get that notification, you might think seriously about uninstalling the app or even going to a competitor just out of spite. I mean, I would, but I'm like that. It's going to require businesses to fine-tune the frequency and the content or allow customers to do so, or it can go bad very fast.
So in addition to this kind of user frustration that you just talked about, there's other more serious concerns with geofencing in the sense of, you know, companies really having a sense of where you are and what you're doing and being able and knowing things about you and having more and more data to collect on you. So what are the data privacy concerns here?
Well, they are there without a doubt. You know, anytime you remind people that they're being watched, some of them are going to get nervous. At least if you downloaded an app, you've explicitly opted in to the program. But what about devices that come with apps preloaded on them? But what about companies selling customer lists to each other, which we know already happens all the time with other kinds of advertising and marketing? There's definitely potential for abuse here, and it's really no wonder. You know, the same technology that advertises shoe sales now was and still is used to monitor criminals under house arrest, to track delivery trucks to make sure they don't stray from their routes, that sort of thing. And there's also, always the possibility that some clever hacker can use location-based services as a backdoor to get into any really personal info you have stored on your mobile device. But to be fair, that's true of any new technology. So, exploits like that are going to be aggressively sought out and squelched by developers. But in reality, if the privacy concerns, our societies become so blasé about sharing personal details that this is only going to be an issue for a small number of people. You know, we use things like Foursquare to tell the world where we are. We share pictures of what we're doing via any number of services. We use Google Maps, which is actually a major component of a lot of geofencing initiatives. We use it all the time. And Google has to know where you are in order to tell you how to get where you're going. So in a sense, Big Brother is all of us collectively.
Okay, so my next question is, what should companies consider as far as having a geofencing strategy?
Well, there's the problem of frequency, which we discussed a couple of minutes ago. That has to be part of any strategy, but it's not the first part. I'd say that the first question to ask is this something my customers will want? The reality of geofencing is very different for a bookstore than for a car dealership, and the implementation has to reflect that. The strategy has to consider what you're willing to give the customer in order to get them to come to you and spend money. How much do you concentrate on potential lapsed customers, using geo as a retention tool versus driving volume with regular offers to regular customers? Too much generosity with geo might reduce overall foot traffic if users can game the system and only come in when they get an offer. But being too tight with your offers may negate any value you might get from the system too. In the end, geofencing in retail is still fairly new. We've talked about the possibility for years, but it's only really starting to take off now. That's kind of where this podcast started. So trial and error has to be expected.
Right. And possibly, for those skeptics, there may be new innovation on the way that can kind of protect your identity a little bit more while still kind of revealing enough to give companies a taste of who you are, the right data to kind of sell to you in an appropriate way. Do you foresee that?
Oh, absolutely. You look at technology that has developed for mobile devices in recent years, a lot of it fairly closely mirrors things that were developed for desktop computers and laptop computers. You can have antivirus and anti-malware software from your phone now, just as you have it on your PC, to changing security settings and giving more options for mobile devices is going to be coming very soon, if it's not already there.
Right. So we're in a little bit of a wait and see mode, I guess.
Yeah, we've been in a bit of a holding pattern for a while. Now, like I said, we've been talking about the possibility of using location-based services very actively in retail for several years, but it's only just now really starting to come to the fore.
Got it. Well, Marshall, thank you so much for shedding light on this topic for us.
My pleasure.
And for more on marketing initiatives and geofencing, check out searchcrm.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.